Today on Maranatha Radio, Pastor Ray Bentley points out there's a transformation that takes place in the life of the believer, a positive transformation.
There are things that as a believer, God is going to ask me to let go of. The depression, the discouragement, the despair, the guilt, the shame, the loneliness, the emptiness, the fear. He wants you to let all of that be sacrificed. But I am born again. I am alive to my Father in heaven.
Spread the news.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel, to the whole world. When we come to the Lord, He invites us to trade in our old broken-down lives full of sin and despair and receive in return a new life in fellowship with Him, a life of fulfillment, peace, and joy. And today, Pastor Ray helps us examine the Lord's offer so we can see there's really no other way to live.
Let's open our Bibles to Romans chapter 12. Paul the Apostle here is talking about how to think and what our attitude should be. It's very important not only that you believe in Jesus Christ and that your sins are paid for, that you're going to heaven, but as we have seen, there is a renewing process that goes on in the mind. Let's go back to Romans 12, verse 1, and then this morning, we're actually just going to get through verses 3 through 5. But beginning in verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. What are the mercies of God? Well, they're everything that Paul has said in Romans chapters 1 through 11. We don't have time to go back through all of that. We've been there many times. But basically, the mercy of God is displayed in the person of Jesus Christ. And what we are about as Christians, you know, we talk about right teachings and right doctrine and right beliefs, and all of that is valid and all of it's true. But if that's all you think of as being a Christian, you don't have the full concept. Because the truth is a person. Jesus is the truth. It's not just merely an idea or a concept or an understanding. It's everything in our walk with God is personal. God wants sons and daughters, and He is our Father, and He wants a relationship, and He wants us to grow from being babies into full maturity until finally we are just like His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, in order for God to make us His sons and daughters, He had to show us mercy because we're sinners. And as high as our sins are, the sins of humanity, as grievous as they are, as deep as they are, one of the things that we discover as we go through God's Word is that the love of God is higher and deeper and wider and broader than all sin. It engulfs it. It swallows it up. And that's what Jesus did for us on the cross. He swallowed up all of our sins, all of our failures, and all of our shortcomings, and that can be described in one word as the mercy of God. Now, Paul says, in view of how God's mercy has been shown to us, we ought to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. I mean, in view of how good God is, and how loving God is, and how merciful God is, there ought to be in the heart of every true child of God an eternal indebtedness. I could never thank you enough. I could never pay you back. You've won me. You've captured me by your love. So I am, and you are, a living sacrifice. In verse 2, he says, he begins to define it. Do not be conformed to this world. So as you really begin to be a disciple and follow Jesus Christ, you begin to discover little by little, more and more, things that I have been conformed to the world and now that I don't want to be anymore. I don't want to be like them. I don't want to be with the majority. I don't want to be with the mob. Because the mob, I mean, you look at the world as a whole, it's a wicked place. It's a dark place. It's a selfish, greedy, arrogant, hurtful, painful, selfish place. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. And I love that word transformed, the Greek word metamorphos, change. It means changed from within. So don't follow the pattern of the world anymore, but be transformed. Transformed is the same word used as Jesus being transfigured. And so we're being transfigured, we're being transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Paul's been telling us then that we can be transformed by the renewing of our mind, and so now he's going to begin to describe that it's all about attitude and how we think. Verse 3, he says, "For I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly," or another translation says, "to think with sound judgment, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." Paul begins talking about the way you think, and the way you think determines your attitude. What is, as my mind is renewed, what should be my attitude as a believer? What should be my attitude as a disciple, as a child of God? Someone has well said, there are two kinds of people in this world. There are those who wake up in the morning and say, "Good morning, Lord." And then there are those who wake up and say, "Good Lord, it's morning." Paul, first of all, wants to teach us how to think. And guess where he begins? How to think about ourselves. How am I to think about myself? How am I to see myself as a Christian, as a child of God? And there is a wrong kind of thinking, and there is a right kind of thinking. And I would say that in this area that's very tricky sometimes, there are two common errors. The first is to think of ourselves more highly than we should. The second is like it, but it's actually the opposite. It's to think too lowly of ourselves and have a false humility. Let's begin with the first. To think of ourselves more highly than we should is the easiest thing to do, for the very nature of sin is to have pride. We all have pride. The middle letter of the word pride is I. How do you know if you're prideful? Well, in a conversation, just be listening to how many times the personal pronouns I are used. I don't like this, and I don't agree with that, and I feel this way, and I want that, and I desire, and I think, and I feel, and I, It's a very self-absorbed way to be. Isn't it interesting that when Jesus taught us to pray, he did not say, pray after this manner, "My Father who art in heaven, give me this day my daily bread." Did you ever notice that he said, pray this way, "Our Father who art in heaven"? Immediately I realize I'm not alone. I'm in a family. I have brothers and sisters, and we have a Father who is in heaven. He taught us right away not to be so self-focused and self-absorbed. The Christian's proper attitude should be one of humility. Just as we are saved by grace, so we live by grace. Grace means we don't deserve it. There is a story of a man who thought he was pretty spiritual, and he was talking with a more mature Christian friend, and he asked him, "I'm just praying that God would make me humble. Would you pray for me that I would be nothing?" And this wise Christian friend looked at him and he said, "I don't need to pray that. You already are nothing." One thing that you really don't need to pray for in life is, "God, humble me." Life will provide many opportunities for you to be humbled. Have you found that to be true? It's coming your way. Get ready for it. God will humble you. In fact, the Bible, more often than saying, you know, pray, "God, humble me," what does the Bible say? Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord. You do it. You come and make, how do you be humble? You become dependent. And this is the hardest thing for us to learn. And if you have a pen or a pencil, would you write this down? Humility equals dependence. Now, you and I live in America. We live in the greatest nation on the face of the earth, with the greatest freedoms and the greatest wealth and the greatest prosperity. And the one thing that we and our culture are known for is our entrepreneurial independence. That's part of what makes us so unique and what makes us so strong, the diversity, but that individualism. But it can also get out of balance. It can become an arrogance. It can become a pride. And because we culturally are so independent, when we do become Christians, many times we don't even realize we're carrying our cultural way of thinking into our Christian walk with God. And we are independent. You know, it's hard to have a relationship with somebody who doesn't need you. And the whole idea of relationship is that you need one another, and the Father is saying, you need me. You really need me. You need me a lot more than you even know. And it's a beautiful thing to just say, Lord, I need you. Prayer is one of the greatest ways that we can demonstrate humility. In fact, it's a sign of humility. The more you pray, the more humble you are, because the more dependent you are upon the Lord. And that's why I believe that from the time you're a brand new Christian, the further you walk with the Lord, the greater your prayer life should become. Because rather than we have this idea that we'll get more strong and we'll get more independent, I've found the opposite. You actually get weaker and more fully realize just how incomplete and inadequate you are. You become more dependent the more you walk with the Lord rather than less. You become, therefore, more prayerful, and you humble yourself more often and more readily. Galatians chapter 6, verse 3 is in our notes. Let's read that scripture out loud. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. And that is so true. Man, you think you are somebody when you're nothing, you're deceiving yourself. So the first problem, I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he or she ought to think. But the second common error is very similar, but is kind of the opposite end or the other side of the coin. We can think of ourselves too lowly and therefore have a false kind of humility. The root of a false humility is really pride. And here's why. You say, well, how? I mean, this attitude of you've been around people that are so they put themselves down, they're so self-deprecating. And I'm just nothing in the body of Christ. I have no gifts and I have no abilities and I have nothing unique about me and nothing special about me. And they're kind of hoping somebody will say, well, no, you are. You know, you don't always get the response you're looking for. But when you put yourself so down, listen, you exalt your view of yourself over God's view of you. And that is pride. That's arrogance. And may I say that it's a sin to think too highly of yourself, I equally believe from what Paul is saying in Romans 12, verse 3, that if you think too lowly of yourself, it's equally sin. Why? Because if my eyes are too much on myself, so I'm lifted up with pride. If I'm constantly putting myself down, still, where are my eyes? They're all about me. In my little pool of, you know, self-pity and depression and discouragement, who am I thinking about? Who am I talking about? Who am I obsessed with? Still me. Your eyes are still on you. And the whole point of the gospel is get your eyes off of you. Get your eyes on the Lord, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. We're to have our eyes on the Lord. And in fact, then now we come to what is the right way to see myself? The right way to see myself is through my Father's eyes. Get your eyes on the Lord. You will hear that many times throughout your Christian life. And we forget. It's very easy to take our eyes off of the Lord. We have to be reminded. And just like a little child, sometimes you have to grab their little face and say, look at me, look at me. And you grab them. So the Lord is constantly, we're looking at ourselves, and the Lord is saying, look at me. And as I look at him, I see him, but I also am able to see how he sees me. And I learn how to see myself through my Father's eyes, which is biblical, which is sound, which is honest, which is balanced, which is healthy, and which is good. So Paul says to think, not only don't think too highly, but also to think so as to have sound judgment as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. So I need to see myself through my Father's eyes. Well, what is that? The Bible tells us who we are in Christ. And that's the whole message of the book of Romans. Who I am in Christ. Not who you think you are. Not how you feel about yourself. You're irrelevant. What matters is what God says. What matters is what God thinks. And what matters is what's true. And the truth is not based in me or my thinking or my feelings or my attitudes. It's based in the Word of God. Because if I think rightly and scripturally, it will impact my attitude in my life. So the first thing as I look at the Word of God is, I am made in the image of God. I am made in the image of God. We are God's children. And as God's children, that says something about who you are and about your identity. Behold what manner, 1 John chapter 3, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Beloved, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we shall see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he really is. We are God's children. We're made in his image. We bear his image. And therefore, I don't believe that Christians should be uptight all the time. There are a lot of uptight Christians. And I don't think that they realize who they are. They've got their eyes on themselves. Jesus didn't say, come and follow me and I will make you uptight. He said, my yoke is what? Easy. My burden is what? It's light. It's not about being uptight. There are many Christians that are uptight and striving. They strive for everything. It's hard to be a Christian. And you got to work hard and give everything up and sacrifice. And boy, it's going to be tough. I call them pirate Christians. You know, they're... There are a lot of pirate Christians. I want to put a patch over their eye and say, you're scaring my children. Get away. We shouldn't be uptight and striving, or we miss the twinkle in our Father's eye. And I'm just, you know, this is how I see it. As I get my eyes off myself, and as I look at my Father in heaven, you know what I see? I see a twinkle in his eye as he looks upon me. He sees me. He knows me. He knows all my weaknesses. He knows all my sins. He knows all my flaws. He sees right through me. And yet he's not looking. My Father in heaven is not uptight. He's not striving. He's not afraid nor scared. He's got all the world in his hands. He's absolutely in control and he is absolutely in love. And there is a twinkle in his eye as he looks upon me. I know that there are things that God is transforming and refining, but it's like a father with his son. A father who really loves his son just can't help but smile. And sometimes he waits till little son turns around when he sees him and he's trying to do something and he's failing at it, riding a bike or learning to walk or whatever it is. But he's constantly loving, lavishing encouragement. You're doing great. You're doing good. Now, I know you fell. Now, what did you learn from that? See, you were leaning this way. Now I'm going to help you. My hand's going to be right here. You try it again. Oh, no, I can't do it. Yes, you can. I'll be with you as long as it takes. You're going to learn. And so the Father comforts and he encourages, and there's a joy as a sign that I'm in relationship with him. Secondly, I discover from the Scriptures I am filled with the Spirit of God. The most amazing thing has happened. Though I do not deserve it in the least degree, I have the power of God at work within me. For all my weaknesses and for all the struggles, I'm not alone. I have the Holy Spirit living and dwelling inside of me, and God is at work in me. I bear the image of my Father, and he himself is at work within me. With all the problems and pressures I'm going to face this day, we're going to do it together. And it just makes me love him even all the more. Thirdly, I discover that I am part of the plan of God. God is working all things in my life according to this incredible purpose. And so often we generalize, you know, God is at work in the world, and God is at work in history, and God is at work in the nations, and God is at work among the people. But God is also at work in me. He has this incredible, as we mentioned last week, tailor-made will for my life, this incredible purpose, and I have a role to play. It's maybe a small part, but it's an important part. It's a role, and if you don't play your part and your role, no one else will, because God only made one of you. And I believe that if we come to this place of a healthy view, as Paul said, for I say, through the grace given to me. Paul was an apostle. He didn't come with pride. He said, hey, I know who I am. I'm a sinner. I know that I'm saved by grace just like you. I don't elevate myself above you. I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but on the other hand, to think soundly, to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. You have faith to be in the image of God. You had faith to believe in Jesus. You had faith to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and now faith to know that God has a part for you to play in his plan. This gives us what one Bible commentator describes as confidence without conceit. With my children, as I've watched them grow, one thing that I certainly, no parent wants their children to grow up and be arrogant, because nobody likes to be with arrogant, self-absorbed people. On the other hand, one thing I definitely did want for my children, and I think every parent wants for their children, you want them to have a measure of confidence. But confidence is not the same thing as conceit, arrogance, pride. But you want your children to be free to be themselves with whatever their personality is. Some are extroverted, some are introverted. Some are the life of the party, some are very quiet and studious. But you want them, in a sense, to fulfill themselves, to be fully themselves, not to be either afraid or ashamed, to be the unique person that God made them to be. So also our Father wants us to joy and to rejoice and to walk with him and to have confidence without conceit. For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith.
Pastor Ray Bentley, encouraging us to have a balanced view of ourselves based on God's opinion of us. Good insight, which we'll continue tomorrow here on Maranatha Radio. Now, to get a permanent copy of today's message, just contact us and mention the title of the study. It's A Transformed Attitude, and we can send it to you for just $7. Again, the message title is A Transformed Attitude. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Romans on a single CD. MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com or address a letter to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, your book, The Holy Land Key, is not only based on your years of biblical study, but it's based on some unique relationships you've enjoyed with people in the Middle East.
You know, that's very true. I had no idea, Dave. The Lord kind of spoke to me, and he just said, hey, you know, you tell the story, you teach the story of prophecy. Son, I got some surprises for you. You're going to be stepping into the story. And when I took that adventure with the Lord, I found myself literally in the office of the current prime minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, and sharing the things of the Lord with him. And it was a powerful, incredible opportunity and experience. And that's part of what I get to share the story about in the book, The Holy Land Key.
He's a thoughtful man that really is trying to do his best to lead that nation.
You know, he is. The whole world being focused on Israel, and right now focused on the prime minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu. We're living at one of the most exciting hours in human history, and we get to share and tell some of those stories in the book, The Holy Land Key.
All right. Well, why not get a copy for yourself? It's available to Maranatha Radio listeners for just $10. To get a copy, write Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 1-800-921-2727 or order it online at maranatharadio.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Romans. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.